Apologize for the delay this morning, we'll get going here. Can we move this? Is the power cord for this out in the car? Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. Is the power cord out in the car? Oh, they take it out, okay. Test, check, alright, I think this is working, so we'll do this. What? Yeah, I must not put it in. Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Again, I apologize for the delay, but that's alright, we'll get this working somehow or another. I have some opening prayer requests. Remember those out at the Temple Lot Local, they're going to have a rally next weekend, January 28th through 29th. And if you want to, you can tune in and you can watch that online. And I think they sent the schedule out on the CCEG. So I think that was sent maybe a week or a week and a half ago. Joyce Harris, she has a broken arm. Remember her in your prayers. Edith Arden, she's itching from psoriasis. Danielle Arden, she's having some issues with some medication. And then remember Joel Yates and Dwayne Ely in Ethiopia. They're out there right now, so pray for their safe travel, that the work will progress and that the Lord will bring them home safely. Any other announcements or prayer requests? Anything that I'm forgetting? Anything you can think of? All right, remember Charles in your prayers, Mandy's son. Prayers are helping?
Yes.
Okay, we'll keep praying for him.
Yeah, I'd like to still keep my daughter. And he came in for a little bit on practice, so he's doing better. He's feeling good. He really appreciated the prayers.
Okay. Jim?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's doing well, but he didn't get a good break in the papers yet, so.
Okay.
But he's healing and keeping his prayers.
All right. Remember Eric's boss, Jim, in your prayers. Any other prayer requests? Why don't we go ahead, then we'll open up with hymn number 205, He Lives. And let me get my guitar out.
Will you stand up, please?
So I'm on this laptop, how do you turn it to you again? Yeah, you have this PowerPoint up here, I'm up here, and it's not in the back. Yeah, and it's not showing up in the back.
Thank you.
it's got to be you, my love, it's crazy.
You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart.
Where that seed going into, when it's going into a heart, either that heart or
into a heart. Oh, my heart will fear me, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy waves. The day of his appearing will come.
Nice to have a difference every once in a while. Would you kneel as we pray? Heavenly Father, thankful for this opportunity to come here today, for the blessing, to be able to have fellowship with one another, and to learn about you, to read your word, and be able to teach us things through your spirit. Pray that today's efforts, Father, would be pleasing to you, that you would work with us, Father, in all of our shortcomings. And look upon us as we humble ourselves before you. I lift up those on the prayer list, Father, that you would bless them and take care of them. Let them know that you are with them at all times, Father, that they come to you and ask for your assistance. I pray for those who are on missionary travel, Father, that you would watch over them and protect them wherever they may go and direct them as to where they should go. Open the doors as necessary so that they can spread your word abroad and to the people that need to hear it. So Father, again, I pray that today is pleasing to you. Thankful for this opportunity. Please be with those that aren't able to be here today due to sickness or other, and give them a blessing as well. Would you just let me pray? We have a new microphone, so it seems to be working okay. It's one good thing, one positive. It's working well. There's some thoughts the Lord placed upon my heart this morning. Some things I've been thinking about actually for two or three weeks now. It's with regards really to our relationship that we have to the Lord, and you know, I think about the blessings that I have in my life and the prayer requests that have been answered, and whether or not I'm always in tune with the Lord, and I feel His presence, I feel the Spirit, and you know, I realize that the blessings that I get in this life, the things that I do, the things that happen to me are directly related to my spiritual journey and the choices that I make. You might see people around us that, you know, their prayers are being answered, or they're being blessed, or that, you know, people might be having dreams or visions or revelations. You know, they might be studying the Word and be very close to God, and you look at them and you say, man, they've really got it right. They've really got it put together. And then I think of myself and what areas can I improve in. And if I'm not in this close relationship with the Lord, it's my own fault. It's not their fault. It's not anybody's fault but my own. So that's a topic the Lord placed upon my heart. And I have some specifics as to things we can reap as a result of our efforts, some spiritual things that we can reap depending on what we sow, how we spend our time, what we do with our time. But just something I just wanted to say, it doesn't have anything to do with my sermon, but we were driving up here today and it was fog. We left 5 minutes late and then we had to turn around. We forgot the pizza for the potluck, so we went back and we got that. So then we were 10 minutes late and then the fog slowed us down. It was pretty thick in northern Indiana and southern Michigan, but we got up here in 131 pretty close to the church, and Lydia said, this is just like the Book of Mormon. You know, the fog's out here like the midst of darkness. Yeah. And she said, the road's the rod of iron. You just follow the road to church. And I said, you're exactly right. But you got to follow the signs, too. You know, you got to follow the signs to Bradley. You know, the Lord always has metaphors that He uses. There's things in life that are metaphors that remind us of these things. And I think that was a perfect example. You know, follow the signs. You know, I go up 69, I go 94. It's just like, you know, following the Word of God, holding onto the rod of iron, make sure you follow directions and you don't get off track off into the fog, into the midst of darkness. So I thought that was really neat. It was really a good thought. I have a couple passages up front with regards to this topic in general. 2 Corinthians 9:6, it says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So I may be taking this verse a little bit out of context. I don't have the verses before or the verses after, but again, what we reap in this life, the things that are produced, the fruit we produce in our life, is in direct proportion to our own effort. You know, there are some things that the Lord has done for us, God has done for us. He sent a son for us. He's given us this plan of salvation as an act of His grace and His mercy. But we have, you know, things in Scripture like these, that there's things in life that that happen that are directly related to what we do. You know, am I doing what I need to be doing? How am I spending my time? Am I reading my Scripture? You know, if you're not reading your Scripture, you're missing out. You know, you need to know your Scripture, and that the Spirit will bring those things into your remembrance, those things that you read, and you can share those things with others. Again, prayer, fasting. Do you meditate on the Lord even when you're at work or wherever you may be? You know, are you thinking about the Lord? I was on a trip to Arkansas this past week. I was gone all week, but I had various conversations with somebody that went out there with me, and they weren't spiritual in any way. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I gather that he may not be. But we were talking about various things, and you know, I'd feel the Spirit sometimes when I was just sitting there talking to him, and I thought, well, what does that mean? You know, what does that mean? Why am I feeling this right now? And but I'm just really thankful for that. You know, whatever we do in life, even if it's something that's unrelated specifically to the church or reading our Bible or praying, you know, the Lord is right there with us all the time. when we go to work, when we do this or we do that, and the Lord cares about things that we care about. He wants to help us out. You know, He may even have you help you solve a problem at work. And He's done that for me. I really think He has. And I'm not the sharpest individual. I'm not the sharpest engineer. But there's been things that I think the Lord has brought to my attention when I'm trying to fix something at work. There's always been a solution to a problem. The Lord always points something out that might take weeks to figure out. And He points it out and say, did you look at this? Did you look at that? And I take time and I look, and indeed that's what the problem is. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we've got two different conditions here. We've got the condition of the flesh. You know, everything we do in life, is it to please our flesh? Or is it to please the Lord? Will it draw us closer to the Lord? You know, there's two different things you can do. And you really need to think about, how am I spending my time? What am I doing with my time? How can I draw closer to the Lord so that I can be more spiritually prepared in my life? So I'm ready for whatever I may face in life. I'm ready for it, and I've got the Lord as my helper no matter what might happen. Sometimes I don't do as much as I should, but sometimes I'll come here to church, and then we'll drive home, and in the evenings I'll watch the Phoenix streaming service, and I don't do that as much as I should. And sometimes it'll be a football game on or something. There was a Sunday a couple weeks ago where you know, we watch church in the morning, and then we just listen to some Christian music, and I just really appreciated that, just to make sure I give time to the Lord. I give Him time. I think about the Lord, especially on Sunday. I mean, of course, it needs to be all the time, any day of the week, but, you know, the Lord rested on Sunday, or I guess on the Sabbath, you know, Saturday. But it's the Lord's Day on Sunday, and it's an opportunity for us to take a step back and to take a break from the world and to focus on the Lord. And if you do, you'll be blessed. You know, people, like at the Phoenix Local, for example, they go to church in the morning, and then they go to church in the evening. And they're really being blessed out there, because it's what's important to them. They're being blessed, you know, down in the Yucatan right now. They have a lot of services. They spend a lot of time with the Lord, and the Lord is helping them to grow right now in ways that we might not be growing. Alma 16, 152 to 173. Page 423. It says, now we will compare the word unto a seed. Excuse me. Now if you give place that a seed may be planted in your heart, behold, if it be a true seed or a good seed, if you do not cast it out by your unbelief, that you will resist the Spirit of the Lord, behold, it will begin to swell within your breasts. And when you feel these swelling motions, you will begin to say within yourselves, it must be needs that this is a good seed, or that the word is good. For it beginneth to enlarge my soul, yea, it beginneth to enlighten my understanding, yea, and it beginneth to be delicious to me. And I think as we go through our spiritual journey, when we accept the gospel, when we decide, you know, I want to be baptized, and you know, I want to be part of the Lord's church. you know, we're really pumped up about it. We're really excited about it, and we're zealous about it. But then, you know, after a while, time goes by, and we go down, and we don't think about it as much anymore. We're not excited, and it's just a roller coaster ride throughout life. We need to just kind of try to stay on the top all the time. Verse 155, "Now behold, will not this increase your faith? I say unto you, yea, nevertheless, it hath not grown up to a perfect knowledge. But behold, as the seed swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, and then you must needs say that the seed is good, for behold, it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow." "And now behold, will not this strengthen your faith? Yea, it will strengthen your faith, for you will say, I know that this is a good seed, for behold, it sprouteth and beginneth to grow. And now behold, are you sure that this is a good seed? I say unto you, yea, for every seed bringeth forth unto its own likeness. Therefore, if a seed groweth, it is good. But if it groweth not, behold, it is not good. Therefore, it is cast away. And now behold, because ye have tried the experiment, and planted the seed, and it swelleth and sprouteth and beginneth to grow, you must needs know that the seed is good. And now behold, is your knowledge perfect? Yea, your knowledge is perfect in that thing, and your faith is dormant. And this because you know, for you know that the word has swelled in your souls, and you also know that it has sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to be enlightened, and your mind doth begin to expand." You know, did you let the seed grow in your life? Is it, you know, dormant? Is it producing fruit? What's it doing? "Oh, then is this not the real? I say unto you, yea, because it is light, and whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible. Therefore you must know that it is good. And now behold, after you have tasted this light, is your knowledge perfect? Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither must ye lay aside your faith, for ye have only exercised your faith to plant the seed, that ye might try the experiment to know if the seed was good." So, you know, this is a discussion of our journey, about faith, how our faith grows. But you're taking part in this experiment, I suppose. And, you know, what's the end result going to be in your life? "And behold, as the tree beginneth to grow, you will say, let us nourish it with great care, that it may get root, that it may grow up and bring forth fruit unto us." You know, that's what we should be telling ourselves. I want this tree to grow. I want this plant to grow. I'm going to nourish it. I'm going to spend time praying. I'm going to spend time reading my scripture. And if I don't, it's my own fault. "But if you neglect the tree and take no thought for its nourishment, behold, it will not get any root. And when the heat of the sun cometh and scorches it, because it hath no root, it withereth away, and ye pluck it up and cast it out. Now this is not because the seed was not good, neither is it because the fruit thereof would not be desirable, but it is because your ground is barren, and ye will not nourish the tree. Therefore ye cannot have the fruit thereof. And thus it is, if ye will not nourish the word, looking forward with an eye of faith to the fruit thereof, ye can never pluck of the fruit of the tree of life. But if ye will nourish the word, yea, nourish the tree as it beginneth to grow, by your faith, with great diligence and with patience, looking forward to the fruit thereof, it shall take root, and behold, it shall be a tree springing up until everlasting life." And, you know, that story in the Book of Mormon that we were talking about, you know, they held on to the rod of iron, and they were able to partake of that tree of life. That's what they're working their way towards. In the Book of Revelation, it talks about that, the tree of life. So we need to make sure we're spending time with the Lord. We need to make sure that we drive to church. We take time to drive to church just like we did today. "And because of your diligence and your faith and your patience with the word and nourishing it, that it may take root in you, behold, by and by you shall pluck the fruit thereof, which is most precious, which is sweet above all that is sweet, and which is white above all that is white, yea, and pure above all that is pure." You know, it's better than anything else. You know, don't let Satan deceive you to tell you there are things that are better in the world, better than God and His Word and His salvation, because there aren't. But we tend to go down that path sometimes, and we forget about that. And then we're not satisfied at the very end. "And you shall feast upon this fruit even until ye are filled, that ye hunger not, neither shall ye thirst. Then, my brethren, ye shall reap the rewards of your faith and your diligence and patience and long-suffering, waiting for the tree to bring forth fruit unto you." So here it talks about reaping fruit off of this tree. So again, it's, you know, if you're not producing fruit, if you don't see the blessings in life, you know, you need to make sure you pray more to the Lord. You need to make sure that you're positive and you look on the good things of life and not the bad things of life. You know, because there are bad things of life are everywhere. You know, you can read the news if you want. There's all kinds of things that you can get yourself bogged down with, and will take any joy or any peace that you have in your life. But you just need to focus on the Lord and what He wants for you, and that's when you really grow. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. For the streamers out there, I don't have a power cord for my computer, so looks like I've got 28 minutes left, so we'll see. Matthew 13, 24 to 30. So another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat in my barn. So I think this is directly related to fruit that we produce in our life. You know, you can think of it as the grains, you know, the grains of wheat. It's talking about wheat here. And, you know, the Lord wants us to, we're in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. So we're growing up with all these tares that are around us. And we need to make sure that we produce so that the time of the harvest, there will be something for the Lord when He returns. So just now I've just got a list of some other things, specific things we can reap, spiritual matters and, you know, those temporal blessings as well. And this isn't an exhaustive list. These are just some of the things I thought of when I was driving up here. I thought of something else, spiritual gifts. You know, you can reap spiritual gifts. I don't have that in here. This is just the list, again, that I came up with. And I talked about this one a little bit, reap the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, take advantage of the time you have while you have it, before it's too late. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So, you know, this is a commandment of sorts, I suppose. You know, Paul's talking about this here. You know, don't get drunk with wine. You know, there are verses in Scripture that talk about what will happen to drunkards. But instead of that, you know, be filled with the Spirit. And he says it here, so all of us are capable of being filled with the Spirit. You know, you're baptized, you have the laying on of hands. You can be filled with the Spirit. And I know in my journey, you know, after I was baptized and the laying on of hands, and I felt that Spirit, and I went to work the week after, and I felt it. But it was not always there. I don't always feel it. And the more I grow in life, in my spiritual journey, the more I do feel it. So we need to make sure that we nourish our tree, that we do things that are spiritual. And if we're where we need to be with the Lord, we're right with God, you will feel the Spirit. Luke 1, 5 through 16. Actually, I think I'm already 13 to 16. And this is about John the Baptist. Luke 1, 13 to 16. Says, but the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. So, John the Baptist, he was a prophet. He was preparing the way for the Lord, telling the people the Lord's going to return and make straight paths. But he was a person just like us. It says here he was filled with the Spirit very early on, but he had to work and do things in his life. He had to produce fruit. He had to bear tribulation. He had to find what he was going to eat. He's going to find out how he's going to pay for this or that in order to survive, I suppose. Just like us, he was a man. But he was filled with the Spirit, and the Lord was able to use him. And it's an example for us. Maybe you'll be called as a prophet one day, or the Lord will ask you to say something to someone else. You need to follow this example and be spiritually prepared, just like John the Baptist was. Revelation 1, 9 through 11. This is the example of John. So I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in the book, and said unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. It wasn't very long ago, maybe a year ago, that I really took note of this verse 10 here, where it says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So there's an important point from this that I think we can draw, and that he was giving himself to the Lord. He was thinking of spiritual things. He was pondering on the Lord, his scripture. He was where he needed to be in his walk with the Lord. In that state and that condition that the Lord wanted him in, and so he was in the Spirit. He took time on the Lord's day, took time to think about the Lord and to give some of his time for the Lord, and then look what happened. He had this, given this marvelous revelation that everybody in the whole world has, because he took the time to do what the Lord wanted him to do, and to think about the things of God and be filled with the Spirit, and he was. That's another example. Reap peace. You can reap peace in your life. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And there's the peace that the world offers, and then there's the peace that God offers, and they're not the same thing. It's different. The world thinks you have peace by minding your own business, not saying anything's wrong, not pointing out something that's wrong. Just do what you do, let them do what they do, and don't worry about it. You know, coexist with all these different religions. Don't speak out against other religions that are led by, you know, a false prophet or this or that. That's the world's definition of peace, or I suppose one definition of peace, or that maybe there's no wars going on in the world. That could be another definition of peace. But you can find, you know, the Lord says, rest into your souls. You can be content in life. You can have peace in your life, knowing that you have the greatest thing there is, and you don't need anything else. It can be a great blessing. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So, it really isn't that hard, I mean, but it is, but it isn't. You know, it's so easy for me to get off on the wrong track and, you know, waste the whole week where I was focused on everything else. I never gave time to the Lord. I never prayed to have him help me out in anything that I did. But I could have done it very easily. I could have thought on the Lord. I could have prayed about the Lord. It's not that hard. So, you know, why don't we do it more than we do? He says his burden is light. John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And that's hard. It's hard for me not to get worked up about things, not to get worked up about things in the world. But he's saying, it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. Just like he calmed the storm, it worked out for them. So we need to remember this verse, you know, that we can have peace no matter what we go through. John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace in the world. You shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." So even in a time of tribulation, he's saying, don't worry about it. Be of good cheer. You know, it's going to be okay. You know, one day you're going to be with me. If you're steadfast in your walk with the Lord, you'll have a crown, you'll have a blessing one day. It's unrelated, but yet somewhat unrelated to this. I thought it was a neat quote. It was Thomas Paine. It said, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it." And I think this, you can make a correlation with this type of freedom that we have in the United States with, you know, spiritual freedom, that we're not in bondage to different things that we do, different ways we spend our time that aren't healthy, that are all time-consuming, when we neglect the spiritual matters. But if we do the spiritual things, we can have freedom from those things that Satan binds us down with those chains. We can have that spiritual freedom, and you can have this peace in your life. The 3 Nephi 8, 50 to 52. So that's 651, and this is one of my favorite passages. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and saith unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter in temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed." I guess what I like about the passage is when it says here, you know, what is right, believing that ye shall receive. You know, surely there's something you can pray for in your life that's according to the Lord's will, you know, something that He wants to happen, something that you want to happen that's right. So this is a promise. You know, if I pray for something that's right, that I think is right, I hope it is right. I hope the Lord thinks it's right. If it is, you know, this is a promise that we're going to receive it. Behold, it shall be given unto you. You know, is this really true? This can't be right. This wasn't translated correctly. Something's not right about this verse. I don't believe it. You know, we cannot be that way. This is what the Lord says, and we need to have faith, and we need to believe it. If we believe it, and we exercise our faith, then we'll reap blessings in our life. Or reap wisdom. This is King Solomon, 1 Kings 3, 5 through 12. I don't think I'm going to read it. I don't think I need to. So, King Solomon, you know, he was concerned. He was the king of this great people. And he didn't know what he should do or how he should direct people. And so he asked God, he said, you need to give me some wisdom here. I need this wisdom so I can watch over these people and judge these people. And the Lord was pleased with him because of that. And the Lord blessed him in other ways. But, you know, Solomon took the initiative himself to ask the Lord for wisdom. You know, Lord didn't just give it to him. Solomon, he did that. He himself had to take the step to ask the Lord for that wisdom. So if he had to do it, we need to do it. You know, there's a lot of wisdom in our scriptures that we read. A lot of things in here that can be brought to our remembrance. But we need to ask the Lord for wisdom. If we don't have the wisdom that we need, maybe it's because we're not asking the Lord for it. You know, again, it's we reap what we sow. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and I think I'm going to lose power in a little bit here. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So, you know, what things has the Lord said unto you in your life? Well, he said the things that are in your scripture. You know, you read your scripture, and then you gain an understanding of it, and then something comes up, and then the Spirit can bring the scripture into your remembrance. I don't know if this one will work or not. Yeah, this one will help. I think this is the right voltage. Nope, it's the right connector though. Plugged in, not charging. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. No, that's not this. Well, I'll leave it plugged in. See what happens. So we need to take time to read our scriptures. You know, that's part of what we sow, that we give time to the Lord, that we give time to ourselves for our benefit. You know, what are you doing in your spiritual journey in life? You know, I do different things for the church. Where I'll work on a website or prepare for a sermon or study, you know, just like others do. But I think it's still important that I take time to just read the scripture on my own. And I started going back through the Old Testament. But I think we need to set aside time. Make sure we set aside time to do that. And then the Lord will bring those things in your remembrance. I'm not a Bible scholar. I have a hard time finding where things are. I have a little thing I've put together that I keep, and it's a list of topics. I don't use it very often. It's a list of various topics, different subjects in Scripture, and it's got different verses that I like to go to help me out, because I can't remember where everything is. I don't have that gift. Memory is not the gift that the Lord gave me. But you know, I find myself when I prepare a sermon on a topic, if I take a second to calm down and to prepare myself, the Lord will bring scriptures to my memory. They'll just kind of pop into my head, and I say, well, where did that come from? I'm not smart enough to remember that scripture. And this is what I believe is happening, that the Holy Spirit's bringing these things into my remembrance. And I believe He does the same thing with you as well. Yeah, I think it looks like it's charging now, yeah. So that was a good idea. I wasn't sure if that was compatible or not, but yeah, it's working. The next thing that we can read is usefulness. And I've got a picture here of this guitar, and this guitar doesn't have any strings on it. You know, what good is it if it doesn't have any strings on it? You know, what type of instrument are you? Are you broken? Can the Lord use you? Are you out of tune? You know, when the Lord tries to use you, does it sound right, or does it just come out a certain way? You know, we need to make sure we prepare ourselves when we're ready to be used. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So are you like this salt? Were you excited about God? Were you excited about coming to church at a certain time in your life, and now it's just, you know, old school habit? It's nothing more than that. Or, you know, do you take it for granted, or is it important to you? Is it important to be here today at the church? You know, because we don't want the Lord to think that we're no good. You know, we're not good for anything that's spiritual. So we need to be careful. We need to watch ourselves. Matthew 21, 18 through 19. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. So he was displeased by this tree. He was so displeased that he caused it to wither away. So, you know, don't let anybody tell you that it's not important to produce fruit in your life. That you don't have to do anything in your walk with the Lord. you know, this is a, an example that that's not true. We need to do things. There's things that we need to do to prepare ourselves for the return of the Lord. Alma 12, 18 through 20. Page 363. It says, "And the Lord said unto them also, Go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish my word. Yet ye shall be patient and long-suffering, in long-suffering and afflictions, that ye may show forth good examples unto them and me, and I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. And it came to pass that the hearts of the son of Mosiah, and also those which were with him, took courage to go forth unto the Lamanites to declare unto them the word of God." So, you know, that's the Lord expresses to us that we are an instrument in his hands. And the sons of Mosiah were where they needed to be. They were spiritually prepared for this. You know, they had made corrections in their life, and they cared for the Lamanites. They didn't want to see them, to go to hell, and they cared about them. And so they wanted to risk their lives, do what the Lord asked them to do, and go to these Lamanites, and the Lord blessed them because of it, because they took the time to do that. And fruit was produced. There was things that were reaped because of what they did here. Reap healing. James 5:16, "Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." I was thinking about this, and you know, a lot of times when I'm up here giving a sermon, I'll confess my faults, and sometimes I wonder, should I have done that? Is that the right thing to do? You know, I have to put myself out there, just like we do and you do during a testimony service. Sometimes it's hard to stand up and to put ourselves out there and to humble ourselves and to say, you know, I did something that was wrong, but here's what happened, and I repented of it, and the Lord blessed me. You know, we need to humble ourselves, and we need to have that attitude of humility one with another. When we're like that, we can help each other out, and we can interact with one another, and we'll be blessed because of it. You know, we'll all grow together, and nobody will be put on a higher pedestal than somebody else. But I need to make sure if I do something wrong, I need to confess it to the person I need to confess it to. You know, we all have imperfections. We all have things that we need to work on. And it goes a long way when you're talking to a brother or sister, you know, to humble yourself before them or say, well, you know, I have this problem and I need to work on it. You know, maybe it's something that resulted in hurt to somebody else and you apologize. But when we humble ourselves before one another, it does. It goes a long way, and it helps us to grow, and it helps us to get along with each other, and it helps us to heal from things that have happened. It allows us to continue to come to church week after week, year after year, and not say, well, I've had enough. I'm leaving. I'm never going to come back here to this church because of what happened. You know, sometimes we might have to set something aside and not get bitter about it if a brother or sister did something to us. You know, Christ said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." We need to make sure that we don't let something that happened rob us of our spiritual journey in life. You know, you can't blame somebody else for what you do in life. You can't blame somebody else that you didn't achieve salvation because they did this to you. You know, it doesn't work that way. So, my last question is my last slide. So do you care? You know, is this important to you at all? Is any of this important to you? You know, you might say to yourself, I'm just fine the way things are. I don't need to strive for perfection, even though the Lord asked me to. I'm close enough. I don't want to take the time to read my scripture or pray any more than what I'm doing. It's all fine. I want to turn to this verse, Revelation 3:14-19. It says, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. Now his computer turned off. this is not, that hasn't been a good day, technologically speaking, but the Lord's going to get us through it. So let me continue reading here. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love and rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. And I think I've shared this before, but when I was young, early teen years, we had a youth group at our church, and I didn't particularly like going to it. But I got together one day with my youth pastor, and he had a sheet of paper, and he asked me, where are you at in your walk with the Lord? And he drew a part across the top and put a bubble around it or something. He said, hot. And then there's on the bottom, he wrote cold. And I think there's a scale from 1 to 10. He said, where are you on the scale? And he asked me, I said, well, I'm kind of here in the middle probably, maybe a little bit on the warm side. And then he read this verse to me. And I always thought about that after he did that I wasn't hot for the Lord, I was on the fence. And you know, there was a lot of wisdom in that. You know, I hope that I would have some of that same wisdom that he had. He knew what I needed. He was watching my life, and he was concerned about me. And so he did that. And I always remember that. So we need to strive to make sure we're hot. We're not lukewarm. We always need to be pumped up and zealous. Always taking time to talk to the Lord. And let me keep reading here, verse 20-22. As behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. So, you know, this is a really neat thing here, that the Lord wants to be your friend. He wants to sup with you. I think we were talking about Moses and the veil that he wore, and that he spoke face to face with the Lord like a friend would. I think it was last week or the week before in one of our studies. You know, we can have a similar relationship when we listen to the Spirit, listen to the words of Jesus Christ. We don't speak to him face to face, but we could have a relationship with him. And we can have a friend. And this can be something that you reap in your life, that you know you're not alone. You might not be at church. Maybe you're out doing something and something comes up and it's hard to bear, but the Lord will be there right with you, and he can help you out through that. This is a great blessing in life, that you can have this friend. You can have a Heavenly Father, you know, that loves for you and cares for you greatly. You know, I care for my children as a father. but I don't care for them as my Lord does, you know, and my Heavenly Father. He's the best Father that you can have as your Heavenly Father. So that's something else you can reap. So you can make a choice as to what you want to do. You know, do you want to continue on the way you're going? You know, it's a message for me as much as it is for you. Or you can make changes in your life. You know, think about it, be reminded of these things, and don't wait until it's too late.